to Left Out on WRCT at 88.3 FM. We've been speaking for the last half hour or so with Dan Fine from the Physicians for Social Responsibility, who's been a longtime activist against nuclear weapons. You're welcome to call us if you wish, 412-621-9728 on campus, 268-9728, or to send email at bob@leftout.info. Our next topic this evening is about the Iraqi prison scandal, which anyone who hasn't been in a coma for the last couple of weeks will be well aware of. As you know, it's starting with CBS News program 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes 2, one of the 60 Minutes publicized some photographs of the treatment of Iraqi prisoners by American soldiers and their surrogates in Iraq, and this has led to quite a lot of furor here in the U.S., but also especially around the world. One of the most obvious reason being that the premise of our attack on Iraq has been to promulgate our superior American values amongst the heathens in the Middle East, and this is an example, presumably, of what we mean by that. So the story has many twists and turns, and it's certainly the case that we're not anywhere near the end of it yet. We don't know what's going to happen and what's going to come out. So far, what we've seen is the initial set of photographs that were on 60 Minutes, and then the Pentagon, it turns out, has known about these photographs for, and I'll come back to that in a moment as to why, for some months now, and they made available to the Congress an opportunity to view what wasn't shown on 60 Minutes, although one can speculate that these things will come out eventually, but at least so far I'm not aware of them being available in the public to the general public.
I have a question.
Of photos that are even more shocking. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah. Just in terms of the photos, I mean, I've seen them on TV a few times. And
the original batch from 60
Minutes.
Yeah,
the original batch, and they've always been grayed out, you know, the genitals. And,
yeah, they...
And so, I mean, it's...
Digital effect thing.
Yeah, so... Well, I mean, not that I really want to do it, but is there, like, a place where you can go and see the real ones? Or
that's a very, very good question, and I don't know the answer to that offhand. Maybe one of our listeners knows. If I were to look, obviously I would Google for it, but I would also go to aljazeera.net, which I would...
Oh, that's a good idea,
which
yeah.
English.aljazeera.net, which I recommend, by the way, if you've never looked at it, to get another perspective on what's going on in the Middle East. And if you've never gone there, this is a bit of an aside, but if you've never looked at Al Jazeera... You may be surprised, because the Bush administration portrays it as being some outrageously outlandish, extremist, anti-American news organization, when, in fact, if you block out the words Al Jazeera, it's really hardly distinguishable from CNN's website or Fox News as well. No, we can distinguish it from Fox News. But you can look at it. But I recommend you look at it just for the sake of getting another perspective.
Let's put a link to it on our website so that in case they don't know how to spell it, they can just follow the link.
Good point. Okay, yes, that's, we'll put a link on that after the show. So this prison scandal has erupted, and of course, you know, the first thing to notice, and this is not surprising at all with the Bush administration, is that, of course, they fully intended to cover this up. The only reason that that Rumsfeld or the president even took notice of it at all was the fact that there were photographs, right? So you have to pay close attention here. Shrub had no interest whatsoever in the fact that the abuse was going on, and Rumsfeld systematically denied it as being absolutely, totally preposterous that there was prisoner abuse going on. It was just ridiculous to even ask the question, when in fact he knew full well that this was happening and that the evidence was available, and moreover that the Pentagon had itself started an investigation of what was happening before any of this came to light, easily 3 months before any of it came to light. But what mattered was, of course, the politics of it, right? We don't, this administration, above all, cares not about policy of any kind or principle of any kind, but only cares about politics and political power. And so when the photographs came out, then, oh, well, then suddenly there was a bunch of attention. So a lot has been going on, and I'm sure you've read, our listeners are aware of many of the developments. The most recent one that I wanted to bring up today and for a discussion was Cy Hirsch's, I should say that the story going on here was broken in the New Yorker by Seymour Hersh, who's a very well-known, well-established journalist writing for the New Yorker, who, going back three decades, was the person who exposed the My Lai massacre in Vietnam. So he has a history of getting the inside scoop on these things. Has written a number of articles now in the last few weeks in the New Yorker, the most recent of which is called The Gray Zone, came out this week, and we have a link to that on our website at leftout.info if you wish to take a look, or you can go to the New Yorker magazine yourself, of course, and have a look there. And the gist of this article is sheds a bit of light on a number of things that I think are worth emphasizing. So the main thing is that the main allegation from Hersh's article is that the authorization for this goes all the way to the top, that it was actually, rather than this being the Rush Limbaughs of the world would characterize as fraternity pranks that were carried out by low-level privates as a way of, and I quote, blowing off steam. In fact, this was a program entitled, according to Seymour Hersh, called Copper Green, that was instituted by Donald Rumsfeld and Condoleezza Rice as a means of seizing control over the intelligence operations in Iraq from the CIA and placing it in control of the Pentagon's military intelligence organization. So this has been going on since the Bush administration took over, and in particular in the run-up to the Iraq War, the pattern being that the Pentagon was totally dismissive of the American intelligence services, notably the CIA, regarded them the fact that, for example, that they could produce no evidence of the vaunted weapons of mass destruction, only showed their incompetence, and they made up their own evidence, and as we know what the outcome of all that has been. So this is part of an ongoing battle, and indeed one of the prime sources, it seems, for Cy Hersh's article is a highly ranked but unnamed CIA official. One can speculate that it might even be George Tenet, but it's not clear from the article. It certainly seems to be someone very authoritative and who Hersh takes seriously. So he talks about this Copper Green program, and the Copper Green program in particular authorized the use of sexual humiliation as a technique for obtaining cooperation from prisoners. So it's one thing, as Danny was saying, we were talking earlier before the program, is, you know, if you think about it, it seems rather surprising, if you think about it for a moment and step back from the hysteria, that just, you know, your average soldier from any old place in the U.S. would come up with these crazy scenarios that were being photographed and whose photographs
right,
were.
Right, like if you wanted to harass a prisoner, why would the first, would those things be the first thing you'd think of?
We all know we don't need to describe them in detail,
right.
But these,
it's
all of these
bizarre.
Bizarre sexual posturing and putting people in, you know, dog leashes or sicking dogs on them and photographing them, you know. And so you ask yourself, you know, how did this come about? And the story that seems to be pushed very often in the press is that, well, as I say, it's just sort of, you know, the hijinks of some out-of-control privates. But if you look at, for example, the Army Times, which is hardly a left-wing organization, their opinion is, and the opinion of many of the soldiers involved, and there's lots of stories saying that, look, this comes all the way down from the top. And the gist of Cy Hersh's article is that, indeed, this does come from the top. And that it turns out that the reason that these photographs were taken was not that, you know, a bunch of privates took their, you know, personal digital cameras along with them and took pictures just because it would be fun to take pictures, but actually that these prisoners were explicitly and deliberately posed as part of a system of blackmail and threats. The idea was that the military intelligence was taking these photographs, was posing the prisoners in these various embarrassing or humiliating circumstances. For example, you know, women soldiers laughing at their genitals and so on. And they were doing this in order to blackmail them, because when these prisoners were released, that they could use that the threat of exposing these photographs in order to manipulate them, and also to threaten incoming prisoners. And if you ask me, this has a much louder ring of truth to it than the idea that they, you know, this was just like some out of control soldiers blowing off steam.
Yeah.
So this is a very, very interesting article. I strongly recommend it to our listeners to read Hersh's article, because there, a lot of it makes to me a lot more sense altogether than any of the stories that have come out there.
So one of the things, this is so-called a black military program.
Right.
SAP, is that what that
means? Yeah, Special Access Program. So this was a program that there are some programs apparently that are operated by the Pentagon that are so secret that they're beyond top secret. So even a top secret clearance is not enough to have access to them. And in fact, they fall under the category of what is called the black budget, which is information that's not even passed to Congress. There's just a sort of a number, and this number is supporting secret operations. And so this Copper Green was formulated as such a special access program for which there would be no, not even high-level Pentagon officials or CIA officials would be privy to. And in fact, it was deliberately intended to circumvent the CIA's intelligence operations in the Middle East.
The Pentagon is denying, of course, this whole thing, and the CIA is denying it. And there's an article I referenced on our website.
Yeah, you should mention that. Would you say some more about that?
Well, please? I just referred to an article where they simply said, Pentagon, Hirsch report is journalistic malpractice.
And so what, I haven't read the article, so what is the substance? Is it just the usual?
It's just usual, no. It's
flat denial,
making,
no,
flat
period.
Denial. No, just making it all up. No such program exists. It's completely fictional. He did the, you know, it's nonsense. And
you can guarantee that they were involved. Yeah, you can absolutely guarantee.
Well, the thing is that, you know, one would, and Hirsch, they asked what Hirsch felt to talk about this. He said, well, it'll all come out eventually. He's just totally confident that, you know, he didn't back away at all from the story. He just says, well, it's going to come out. Yeah. And one can hope that the ongoing trials or court-martial trials
the,
are going court on.
Court-martialing starting tomorrow, from
dig,
what I understand.
We'll dig this out, and it seems like if this is really true, it ought to be. It'll come out.
Well, the clear intent there is to, you know, railroad these poor, you know, these privates and sergeants from various places around America, including, I think, someone from the region, not very far away from here, if I remember correctly. They're going to railroad them, and they're going to, you know, they're going to probably court-martial some superior officer in order to sort of whitewash the entire thing if they can. But the good news is that the Senate Intelligence Committee, even though it is run by the Republicans, has no intention of letting this slide because the implications of this scandal are profound. I mean, they completely undermine the final shred of justification for our invasion of Iraq and completely undermine any hope of trying to gain people's confidence, in our so-called leadership in the Middle East. And I think it is a disastrous outcome. It is a horrible outcome for the United States. But given the complete disregard that the Bush administration has for matters of international affairs or what other countries think or compliance with international law, either in the senses we've described earlier or compliance with the Geneva Convention, is given that. Their attitude, this kind of outcome is inevitable.
There was an article in the New York Times on Sunday raising the issue of torture, like sort of philosophical issue of, well, you know, there are some conditions, aren't there, where you need to torture people because if there's a ticking bomb or there's a terrorist plot to do some terrible thing and you've got a guy who knows the plot and you've got to use his life is not worth the damage is going to be done if this thing occurs, and so you torture and do whatever you have to do to get it out of them. They were kind of arguing that, yeah, you have to do that. Well, I mean, first of all, that's questionable on a number of grounds, but most significantly in this particular case, that most of the people in those prisons were just innocent.
That's the point.
Most of them
right.
were, so you use it when you've got a guy that you know. I mean, even if you believe the argument, you have to take, as the hypothesis is, that this guy is one that you know has
the
information.
Exactly.
Okay?
Right.
That's not what they're
Which
doing.
Which you never
here.
Do.
In this case, it was even more ridiculous. And the Red Cross said that 90% of the people in these prisons were completely innocent of anything.
Yeah, the Red
and
Cross.
And other estimates say 60% were innocent of anything.
The Pentagon's own report says 60% of these civilians were just rounded up. In fact, Antonio Taguba, who authored the report, said that he was horrified to discover that the soldiers would do things like they would be sent to some house looking for a particular guy. Nobody was home. So, and this is a quote. So we rounded up the neighbors and took them in instead. I mean, it's literally, they just, you know, random pick up whoever they want. And then the irony of it all is that, you know, the allegation is, well, this treatment was only given to the most incorrigible prisoners. Well, what do they mean by the most incorrigible prisoners? They mean the ones who do not admit to having any involvement with, for example, bath party operations or any insurgent operations or so on. And, in fact, that would include the 60% claimed even by the Pentagon itself, who, in fact, have nothing to do with it and have nothing to admit. So the depiction of this as being as trying to justify it on the grounds of these people are, you know, self-evidently guilty. They have guilt tattooed on their forehead, and we know it's all total rubbish.
Of course, that's not what the Pentagon has said. I was just sort of talking about the article in the New York Times, but they're obviously acting embarrassed about this. But on the other hand, what's more plausible is that
they're embarrassed about being caught.
What's more plausible is that they just don't they've got to get what they want to win the war, and that's what's more important. They want to have good PR about the war, and it doesn't matter what you do to these people out there. It makes no difference at all. If 90% of them are innocent, hey, so what? You get 10% guilty, maybe you'll get a little shred of information.
So that's an interesting argument. So what does it mean to win the war under those circumstances?
Well, you stop the insurgency, and then everything is calm, and then you install democracy, which is actually just basically giving the entire country away to American multinational companies.
In the form of Ahmad Kalabi, right, will be the democratic leader of Iraq.
Or you just make the whole thing, you know, calm down enough so that Bush can win the next election, and then. And you do whatever you want.
I think that's what victory really consists of. You're welcome to call us at 412-621-9728 or to send email to bob@leftout.info. We have about 5 minutes remaining. So to finish up on this topic, I mean, I think it's quite obvious that we haven't heard the last of this, or let me say it another way. I certainly hope that we haven't heard the last of this because it seems perfectly clear that there's a lot more to understand about exactly what has been going on with the prosecution of the war. And what this brings out again is for the millionth time is that even if you're someone who believes completely in the justice and of this operation, that we really ought to have attacked Iraq and this is the right thing to be doing, you have to admit that even if you think that is the case, that the execution has been completely and totally botched. There isn't a single sense in which you could argue that the conduct of this war has been has accomplished anything, no matter what your premise is.
So just to make a little meta point about, you know, what we're seeing with this administration, sort of the level of lies and duplicity that they're capable of without the blink of an eye. And what that makes me wonder, and I guess a lot of other people, is what are they going to do if we're approaching the election and it looks like Kerry's going to win? Or maybe he does win the election. What are they going to do? It seems like, just to give an example, assassinating Kerry, if it looks like he's going to win, that would be a minor thing compared to some of the starting a war, you know, an unjustified war. Assassinating a candidate is a minor thing. And what are they capable of doing? I mean, so it just raises this question of what's going to happen, you know, if it looks like Kerry's going to win, they could orchestrate a bogus terrorist attack, terrorist attack against the United States. They could orchestrate one to make it, you know, to raise the issue of, Bush, we need President Bush who's tough on terror, which is what happened after 9/11, of course. He was skyrocketed as a great warrior president. It just scares you to think about what they're.
I think it's entirely likely. I think it's entirely possible that the Bush administration, if they really are faced with the prospect of being removed from power by legitimate means, will seize power by illegitimate means. And in particular, I think that there is a distinct possibility that there would be what amounts to a military coup, that is, a military takeover of the government. And it's interesting. I've been talking about this with a number of people for a while now, wondering just what would they stop at. And one of the questions comes up is, why would the military participate in this, and why would they participate in it? And it's interesting that recently there's a story from 1992, a didactic piece of didactic fiction authored by Charles Dunbar from the Army War College called The Origins of the American Military Coup of 2012. And this has been circulating around in military circles and has been getting quite a lot of attention. And I recommend you have a look at it. It's an interesting story. Well, thank you. Our time is up for this week. Thank you for listening to Left Out. I'm Bob Harper.
I'm Danny Slater.
And we'll
see you in 2 weeks.
Back in 2 weeks. Thanks.